Hey, this is Gerard Butler, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kaw.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
Fat Guys at the Movies. Sorry.
And we're back in, I think this is, what, 2 weeks in a row that we've both been here in the studio?
That's right, and it's exciting.
I know, this is the first time we've had 2 weeks in a row in
this
a while.
Is 3 weeks, isn't it?
3 weeks in a row, maybe.
It is three weeks, yeah.
I don't even pay attention. It's...
Yeah, because the first week back, we would announce, and we'll talk about this in a minute, announced the biggest reject loser.
Last week. And we've done a week.
And there was a week before we actually started that because you needed to eat.
Right, I gorged on barbecue to inflate my initial weight so that it would come down very quickly.
As I understand, you gorged on Mexican spicy
food.
barbecue. Then drove a 20-hour trip home.
Yeah, with Brian. This is probably why Brian and I are not friends anymore.
There's quite a few gas stations somewhere in Mississippi that have been
Arkansas. Actually, the gas stations in Arkansas, I will say, already are the stinkiest gas stations ever.
Well, Arkansas is like the stinkiest state.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No offense to our people in Arkansas.
Yeah.
It's the state I have an issue with.
Yes, terrible state. But if you live anywhere else, here's how you can get a hold.
You know what has the coolest? I'm already sidetracked.
I know.
This is the end of the show already.
We're just going downhill.
What has the coolest rest areas of all the states in the union that I've been to?
Go ahead.
Iowa.
Go figure. I don't have anything else to do.
Iowa's pretty cool. Actually, Iowa's a beautiful state. Yeah. I'm on the radio in Iowa, too, so.
Yeah.
Cedar Rapids, WMT.
Cool.
600 AM.
Can I do the where you get
hold of us?
Sure. FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. You can also go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies, and we pop right up. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or shoot us a voicemail, 614-388-8735.
Have we gotten more hangups?
No, we didn't get anything. This is terrible. I'm going to cancel that phone number.
You know what my theory is?
What?
Those hangups? That's Ellen Page calling you.
It is,
I'm sure. And being afraid to answer. You know how like when you're in high school, you like call a girl or like junior high, and they answer, and you hang up? Real stalkery, but like every kid did that.
You know, but I mean...
Ellen Page is hot for
she
you.
She could just call my cell phone number. I've given it to her a few times, I don't think that she would really have a problem getting a hold of me, and I'd love to talk to her. In fact,
either that or it was Kristen Bell's lawyer.
Well, that person I am avoiding. So,
well,
but anyway, so we have
by legal restraint.
By legal restraint, I definitely we have a biggest reject loser update. It's not on the web, so this is a Fat Guys at the Movies exclusive. At least until I get off of my lazy butt and post it to Film School Rejects.
Yeah, we're not going to reveal our actual weights,
right?
Just because. Why embarrass ourselves further?
Yeah, we'll reveal our final weights, and then you guys can do the math from there.
And like, if you watch The Biggest Loser on NBC, we're not going to like strip down to our underpants and step on the scale like
not publicly.
Not in the biggest. No one wants to see that.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to see that on The Biggest Loser either. But
right,
you know, we have more taste than NBC.
Okay, so
the girl who hosts The Biggest Loser, she's
hot.
Allison Sweeney, I think is her name.
Whatever,
she plays Sammy
matter.
On Days of. She is hot.
Yeah, I agree.
Totally hot.
So what are the totals? Where are we at? I know you're in the lead.
I'm in the lead. I have lost 12 pounds,
okay,
which is 4.3% of my body weight. Actually, if you're smart enough, you can figure this out.
And you have a calculator handy.
Neil, you have lost 10 pounds, which is 3.7%.
That was pretty much all water weight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like we had these huge losses, and it's going to be a pound a week for the rest.
Yeah, I know.
And then Brian is pulling up the rear with 5 pounds, which is 1.6% of his body weight.
Yeah.
He's going to overtake us one day, he's pacing himself.
Yeah, but he didn't eat as much barbecue, so like he's, okay, you know. Anyways, moving on. So there you have it. Kevin is currently in the lead, which, you know, I'm going to let him be in the lead until like the last week and then just fly by.
And then you'll give yourself cancer.
No, I'm going to start doing crack.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you're the one who's going to inject yourself with cancer.
That's right.
So, but let's get to the first movie. The first movie
I won't
of...
say the really bad taste joke that
yeah.
I made. I'll tell you off the air, and you can tell me whether I should mention it next
segment. The first movie we're going to talk about is Leatherhead.
Say, fellas, it's a movie about football starring George Clooney and John Krasinski.
You ever hear of Carter Rutherford, the Bullet?
War hero, football boy?
They've got a completely different style, Carter. How are you going to adjust to that?
Maybe they'll just kind of adjust to me.
So you're a sports writer?
Why not?
Hey, what's a girl doing in a press box?
Certain jobs are always going to be done like that.
big strapping man?
You're the kind of cocktail that comes on like sugar but gives you a kick in the head.
You think you're the slickest operator in Duluth, but being the slickest operator in Duluth is kind of like being the world's tallest midget, if you ask me.
It's too bad we know each other so well. We might have gotten along.
Well, I'll live.
Alone.
Just your intro is still, even after the trailer, is still it's so blowing awesome. Me away right now.
Well, this is the thing. There are aspects I liked. I thought George Clooney's not the best director. He's a good director, but it's like Good Night, Good Luck was his most recent directing effort, mm-hmm. and it was one that like had certain parts that were very well done,
right?
But then just didn't have the cohesion and the full follow-through in the story.
Right.
This was very similar. It had... But ultimately, it kind of lost me because it had every single movie cliche from the 20s. You know, like the guy playing the piano, hitting somebody over the head with a bottle.
As somebody mentioned on the Keystone way out, Cops. There was no guy with a Tommy gun.
Yeah, I want the only thing we didn't have was a Tommy gun guy going, "Hey, coppers, you're not going to get me."
Yes. Okay. So I will agree with you. It was filled with cliches, and it really starts out with a good fury of pace, and it really introduces a lot of cool characters, and George Clooney's very quirky, and Renee Zellweger is, she just fits in that kind of movie. That she fits in that time period.
She pushed it though. I mean, it was like they had this witty banter between the two of them, and it was just right. So forced.
It felt a little bit forced. And then John Krasinski, he plays a good, awkward, unassuming kind of hero guy. But the problem is that it really gets into is A, it create there's too many storylines. Like the movie never really identifies itself as being about anything.
It has more storylines than the Pirates yep. movies.
So, you know, in that sense, it gets really muddled towards the end, and it really, really takes a long time to kind of clear itself up. And I thought it became a real mess. And as well as the identity thing, I think I lost my train of thought. I have no idea.
Well, I'll go ahead and throw in here. And with all the storylines, they didn't even really have a bad guy. There is no villain to this movie. I mean, right. They have antagonist as the classical story would be told,
right?
But even the antagonist, who it turns out to be, which doesn't start out that way, mm-hmm. it just is sort of like these characters are like bumper cars. They just kind of run into each other throughout the movie, and then they have the big climax, and then we have like a 20-minute football scene.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? And that's the other thing I was thinking about the identity crisis.
You're just stealing from me now.
You may think, looking at the marketing for this movie, it is a football movie. It's not. It is a romance. It's a romantic comedy with football in the background. It is Down with Love, that movie with Renee Zellweger and Ewan McGregor,
that
with
bond.
Football. Yeah. You know, so that's. That's really all it is. So if you're looking for a date movie, I would recommend it. If you're looking for a football movie, I don't know what to tell you.
I feel about the same way about that with Down with Love.
Yeah. So, but I had a lot of fun with it. So
I didn't.
I say kind of rocks.
Say, Copper, I say kind of sucks.
All right, cool. Well, the last movie we have was the second movie we had, Shine a Light, which is Martin Scorsese rocking the house with the Rolling Stones.
My other worry about the cameras was, Marty, that they whiz around all the time, and it's very annoying to the audience and to everyone on the stage.
It would be good to have a camera that moves.
Can we kind of know, if at all possible, what they're going
to
play?
We have to make sure that we're covered. Which guitar?
We'll be done, Marty, you know, now before the show.
I don't know what's going on.
If Mick stands in front of the light for more than 18 seconds, he's going to burn.
You mean like flames?
This one I didn't see.
Neither did I.
Because I had to go see Leatherheads, which was showing on the same night.
Yeah, for some reason I went to see Leatherheads as well. We should really split this up next time.
Yeah, next time. But I have to say this. I will say that Martin Scorsese doing a rocker film is cool. It's sort of like the adults get their shot after Miley Cyrus did.
Yeah.
But putting Keith Richard and Mick Jagger on the IMAX screen.
Really not the best thing to do.
Probably scary.
So, but I heard it was pretty good. So we'll go to break. We'll be right back.
All right, so in the magical studio in the sky, we've redecorated with some new movie posters, a signed poster from Sweeney Todd with everybody.
It's signed by every. I even think that crazy costume designer that won the Oscar.
Yeah.
Her signature's on there. It's the fancy one.
Ugliest dress.
Yeah, it's the ugliest signature I've ever seen.
We have an Alamo Drafthouse poster you got
which
from
I got in Austin.
Austin.
Very
and
cool.
We have a Juno poster, which I got you.
You did. It was very nice of you.
And I'm looking at it, and it's looking remarkably. Juno is looking remarkably like my wife because she's sort of getting that torpedo shape because we're like in the last home stretch.
But I've met your wife. She's not a 16-year-old girl.
No, she's
not. Just to clear up the record here.
Because you would have known, and you would have been easily. Like, I want one of those. But but I do have to mention, I do have to do a shout out to my wife, because
she puts up with all your crap.
She is a listener of the show. I'll burn this to CD for her, and she listens to it when she drives to work, because I don't work. I make her bring home the bacon.
Get out there and do us a solid.
Come on. So she's like got a 30-minute commute, so she listens to it. And so she is a listener, and she was giving me what for the other day, because she's like, we always talk about Neil's mom, and a listener, and you say we have 12 listeners, but you never name me. And I'm like, okay, so I got to say she is a listener.
We're up to 13 now.
Yeah, so all the comments about
Neil. Well, 14 if you count your unborn child.
That's true. Yeah, he's sort of stuck. He can't choose not to listen. But you know, with all the comments about Mila Kunis and Tijuana Hookers and all that kind of thing, you'd think that she doesn't listen and I just get away with this. No, she listens and
you
she
definitely
takes it
don't
stride.
Get away
I
with it.
I do not get away with this at all. I pay for it later.
Yep. Sweet. So let's talk about movies again.
Yes. let's move on to Nim's Island.
Cool.
Which as you heard in the beginning of the show,
Gerard Butler.
And we're going to have an interview with him.
And of course, it all just comes back to Neil's mom.
Neil's mom is very integral to this interview. And you can go and listen, read more about Gerard Butler on Film School Rejects.
Yeah,
we've got a couple interviews.
We have actual questions that we asked that were about Nim's Island on there.
Yes, and 300.
And 300, yeah.
The sequel, which he was like, I'm dead in it, so I don't.
Didn't you see the. Oh, you just spoiled the end.
Yes, there you go. Whatever. I'm sorry. If you haven't seen 300 by now, you're an idiot. But anyways, Nim's Island, a reclusive Jodie Foster must travel halfway around the world to help Abigail Breslin on a desert island.
Dear Alex Rover, my father's lost at sea, and our island's being invaded. I need you, Alex Rover.
But I'm not that Alex Rover.
You're definitely not.
She thinks I'm you, and you're not even real.
Let's do it.
Do what?
Go. Be the hero of your own life story.
Don't hand me that line. I wrote that line.
Let's go save that little girl. What are you afraid of?
Everything!
Beautiful ocean. Doesn't it feel just great?
No, it doesn't feel just great.
That's just a weird premise.
You didn't see this movie, did you?
Intentionally.
Yeah, you like I got an email from you like when the press screening was, because I had already seen it because I had interviewed Gerard.
Yeah.
But I got a press like an email. It was like started at like 11, and I get an email from you, and I'm like, it's like 11:15.
Yeah,
like,
I definitely wasn't sitting there emailing from my phone inside the press screening. I just, I don't know. I figured I could get better stuff done without seeing it. Plus, you saw it. I mean, you can enlighten us. You know, I mean, I don't need to see every movie. I have you. This is
why you keep me around.
You complete me.
Oh, tear.
Yeah. No.
Anyways. This movie, it's like all of Walden stuff. Fox Walden does stuff with Disney.
Yeah,
it's based on a book, and I haven't read the book, but it's very much a family film. It's very much a kids movie.
Right,
and I know that there's been some other critics that have been pretty harsh on this, especially ones that we know.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. But I have to say, while I didn't love this movie, I did enjoy it, and I liked it because. Throughout the entire time I'm watching it, I'm like going, my kids would go bonkers over this. Now they're 4 and 6, so it's not something you can watch as an adult. In a lot of ways, it reminds me of Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, where you have to watch it as a child.
Right, you have to see it through the eyes of a child, or else it's going to look really dumb.
Yeah, because there's things in it that you look at and you go as an adult, you're like, that's really stupid.
Okay,
but you kind of have to realize that kids are going to giggle at it. I mean, it's like watching Pokemon. You watch Pokemon or SpongeBob, you're, as an adult, you're like, what?
I like SpongeBob.
I don't know. You haven't watched enough of it with kids.
Apparently.
But, you know, 3 hours of ah, gets on your nerves.
It'll make you want to travel to the ruins.
Exactly. We'll get to that in a minute. But, no, I liked Nim's Island, but it's sort of like Shark Boy and Lava Girl, where once you get to be about 11 or 12... you're probably going to lose interest in it.
Right.
So, like, definitely not a teenager movie, but if you got young kids, definitely take them, especially if they're girls, because it's like I heard it described as an Indiana Jones for girls.
Okay.
And a lot of ways that works.
For
because,
little girls, though? Like, younger girls?
Well, Abigail Breslin's age and younger, although she's, like, pushing teenage years now. But,
yeah, she's getting there.
She's well over the hill. But Jodie Foster's not great in it. At all, really. She's kind of miscast.
Jodie Foster's not that great.
Abigail Breslin just cleans up with
What about movie. Jerry?
Jerry's great in it. He kind of plays a nerd and a swashbuckler at the same time.
Hey, you know what? Why not?
Yeah.
So let's give it a grade.
It kind of rocks for me.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And speaking of movies for teenagers, our next film is The Ruins.
Not for children. Do not take your little kids to
Which
the
is
ruins.
Very much R-rated, and it chronicles the journey of a bunch of college kids as they head to Mexico and battle carnivorous marijuana plants in an ancient Mayan temple.
So, what do you guys think? Ancient Mayan temple off the beaten path?
I want to go.
I'm in.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
Something's on me.
Get off me!
It's inside me.
I want to cut it.
As you can tell, the trailer sounds a lot scarier than my description.
They're not marijuana plants.
They sure look like marijuana. I'm watching the movie and I'm like, I get it. Marijuana's bad. It will eat your brain.
It is sinister cannabis. Here's what I have to say about The Ruins. And my distaste for horror films, or my queasiness with horror films, is well documented here on the show.
Because you're a pansy.
I mentioned this before the screening tonight. I've become a little numb to it. You know, I saw Pathology and it was really kind of, you know, gory, and I've really become numb to it because I've exposed myself more and more to it.
You've
in the
gone
past
out
couple
and murdered
years.
People to watch them die.
Oh yeah, totally. And so, you know, I don't get queasy. It takes
a
little bit more.
And if you're going to get queasy, this is the movie you can get queasy.
Yeah, it takes a little bit more to get me going, and this one succeeded in a few ways. I really don't like creepy crawly things. So the sinister cannabis plant that attacks these kids, very creepy. It's like creepy plants. Like literally, that's it. That's it is just a plant that it's
evil plants.
It's evil, and you know, I thought it worked in a few different ways. It worked on being creepy. I think it really kind of checked out at the end, and they really kind of punched the ticket and walked away with the, you know, atypical American horror crap ending. And I think
set
that really
for a sequel, though.
They keep it set up for a sequel, but they could have been edgier, especially with the rest of the tone of the movie. But overall, I think if you're a real horror junkie, this is probably one of the better ones you're going to see this year.
Yeah,
because it was well done to a certain extent.
I have to say, I love this movie. And the more I think about it, the more
you
I
did
love
giggle
it.
Like a little girl. I
thought it was the most hilarious, fun time in a horror movie, but it's super intense. And
at
here I'm
going to
throw,
here.
I'm going to be throwing out some Peter Maxim style quotes.
Peter
Hammond from
Pete
Maxim,
Hammond,
yeah, sort of like
formerly
of
Maxim.
And these are the ones that, and this honest, this is the first best horror movie of the year.
Okay,
this is the number one horror movie so far in 2008, and we've had a lot of them.
That's true,
and they've all kind of been.
Yeah,
this one's really good, and I will also say this one is one of the most disturbing and creepy movies I've seen in a long time.
I think that was my initial gut word was creepy, like it creeped the crap out of me.
Yeah, yeah, and I was there and I saw the pile. But
At one point I had my hooded sweatshirt over, and I was like, and the woman beside me and I were like huddled together, and it was really bad.
Our friend
there's
from the movies.
Our friend
sat next to her,
who knows you as film school rejects, and that's it.
She like knows me for that.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and but this one, in my opinion, they did everything right.
Okay.
As a horror movie goes, it's got the violence, it's got the suspense, it's got the nude scene, and I will give you that
there's
for
a nude
horror
scene.
Movie. Laura Ramsey has fabulous breasts.
Yeah, that's true. Who's That Hottie this week.
Yeah, I hated her in The Real Cancun, but you know what? She was great in this movie. But, I mean, it's disturbing. But the other thing about it, coming from the horror side, having seen so many horror movies in my life, this was actually relatively subtle. I mean, it was intense.
it wasn't gory, which I think it wasn't, like, gross. Mm-hmm. There were a couple parts that were
there's some gross parts.
But it wasn't gross for the sake of being gross. I don't know. I don't want to say tastefully done because it's not the right word. It was appropriately gross.
It wasn't like over the top, blown out, exploding, and it never hit that part where roar. I mean, it has a moment where it's real jumpy and intense, but everything else from that, it works with a lot of suspense. And if you realize, 80% of this movie takes place in like one location.
Yeah,
and they do it incredibly, incredibly well. It's very well paced. Like I said, one of my top movies so far of the year, and one of the best horror movies of 2008 to see.
Yeah,
do not go if you got a soft stomach at all.
It's rough. And the only thing I disagree with you on is is the ending. I think they really just kind of checked out. But
yeah.
You got to leave it open for a sequel.
You got to do what you got to do.
I'm giving it a kind of rocks because it was a good horror movie.
I'm going to be full on rocks.
Sweet. And then we'll be at a break and we'll be back in a moment. Kevin, I think we should talk a little bit about the box office from last week.
No.
What do you want to talk about?
Nothing but box office. Nothing. I'm looking at Busted Tees this high.
I know. While you're looking at that, I'll talk a little bit about the box office from last week. I don't remember.
In case you're wondering, the listeners out there, if you go to BustedTees.com, but go through Film School. Go to Film School Rejects. Click through the Busted Tees ad. So we get points. And there's this really hot redhead chick in... this little blue shirt,
yes.
And I don't care what it says, but she is just cute as a button.
Yeah.
And then you click through it, and it's this guy. I'm like, yeah. What?
But you got to go down to the photo gallery, and the girl's there.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
She's there. Don't worry.
I'm doing
anyways,
it. She talks box
while
office.
You are talking about the girl on the Busted Tees website, I'm going to talk about box office. And I don't remember what our predictions were last week, but I think we both predicted Horton Hears a Who to finish number one, right?
Maybe? I think so.
Maybe, I don't know.
21 won, though.
The readers probably know, but 21 finished first.
We don't bother to listen to it.
By a good mile. We had Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who. Superhero movie, which we both went and saw on Friday, and actually...
Let's give a shout-out to Superhero Movie.
We kind of enjoyed Superhero Movie in a really... Like, I guess it was smarter than most of the other spoofs.
Well, the thing
is... It was a lot funnier, and it stayed on point.
They had Scary Movie...
Yeah.
And then they went and they did, then other people went, and, well, two of the people from Scary Movie went into Date Movie, then Epic Movie. So when you throw movie
meet
at the
Spartans.
End, they did Meet the Spartan, which didn't follow the title.
Right, yeah.
Pattern, but they did.
Right, and
then
they did
Superhero
crap.
Movie comes out, which is done by another guy who's closer to the Zuckers.
Right.
Who did.
The original Scary Movie.
Well, they did the 3 and 4.
Okay, but anyways.
Regardless, Superhero Movie's not that bad. It's actually really kind of funny.
Yep. And I think the number one thing that people say is the problem with the spoof movies is that there's too much other stuff going on. You know, like Britney Spears being in Meet the Spartans just doesn't fit. Stuff like that.
Well, they just reference other movies. They don't actually bring them into the story.
But I think at least Superhero Movie kind of stayed into one genre. And when it did, like there is a part where the guy impersonates Tom Cruise. But it fits into the storyline of the movie. There's a reason for it, and it makes sense, and it's funny.
And one of the problems with, like, especially Meet the Spartans, is they in Meet the Spartans, the guys who do that, I don't even remember their names, I don't care, Josh Freeberg.
The guys
who
are
going to
do the super bad
oh,
spoof.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, shoot me in the face.
These guys, when they do a reference to another movie, they think you're the dumbest person on the planet. They have to say, hey, look, it's Ghost Rider.
Right.
And then you look and it's Ghost Rider. He doesn't do anything. It's just there's Ghost Rider. But like, what other person in movies has a flaming skull and rides a motorcycle?
I don't know.
Nobody.
If you can't figure it out, you really shouldn't be watching a movie like that.
Whereas like, for example, in Superhero Movie, when they cut to the Tom Cruise thing, which everyone's seen that from the viral video, they don't say, let's talk to Tom Cruise.
Right. He just shows up.
Yeah. They don't identify him as Tom Cruise. They just let him show up as Tom Cruise.
Yeah. So
it's funny too.
So, rounding out the top five, we had Meet the Browns and Drillbit Taylor. Those are previous releases. No big deal. 21 was the big winner from last week.
Yeah, but Stop Loss did not do well.
Stop Loss did not do well.
Even less well, Run, Fat Boy, Run.
Yeah, very disappointing. But Run, Fat Boy, Run is going to get a little bit bigger release, I think, this week.
Is it?
Hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. Probably not.
So
actually, I lied.
You lied.
So, but this week we've got Horton Hears a Who's still the big dog. Nim's Island is the biggest release of the new of the new movies, and I think it could do okay, but it's really running up against Horton Hears a Who, and it's really going to be tough to break into that.
Well,
that movie is rolling right now.
Supposedly the trend is saying that Leatherheads is going to top the weekend. I think it's going to have some trouble.
I think it's going to take too.
I think that the initial, because it always runs on what happens on Fridays.
Yeah.
And people expecting a football movie are going to go and go, huh? Not a football movie. People expecting a date movie aren't going to go to that necessarily.
Right.
And I don't know if word of mouth, and I think it's just going to crumble a little bit.
I wouldn't be surprised to see the ruins with all the marketing they've done and the fact that it's probably going to get some positive reviews.
And the fact that it's like really, really awesome.
I think the ruins could run, you know, run in first. Because I think Horton Hears a Who, people have already seen that. Nim's Island can't cut too far into that. Superhero Movie is pretty much dead after the first week.
I think Nim's Island's going to do better than you'd think, simply because it's getting a lot of publicity. It's getting a lot of advertisement on the kids' networks.
Oh yeah, that's right. You watch Nickelodeon.
Well, my kids watch Nickelodeon.
Yeah, whatever.
And it's SpongeBob. Yeah. So it's getting a lot of play there, but it's also it's a kids' movie, and kids' movies tend to do very well in this time of year.
Right. Well, there you have it. You know.
Are we done talking?
No. We are pretty much. No. But I honestly think my prediction is The Ruins, Nim's Island, and...
We've got a aberrant commercial showing up on our pages.
We have
here.
There will be blood trailers. Just there will be blood being showing up,
heavily
sorry.
Marketed by certain sites.
Wow, that was really that kind of derailed me for a second. I don't even know what I was saying. The Ruins is going to be the number one movie this week.
Suddenly Daniel Day-Lewis came in and drank your milkshake right out from under you.
Just sorry, drink it up.
I'm trying to click to my cheat sheet on who's going to win the weekend. I can't
you
get
steal
past
it from
the,
somebody else.
Well, yeah, I totally steal it from somebody else. I steal from boxofficereport.com, by the way. They're a good site.
Yeah. I use Box Office Mojo.
Well, I don't like Box Office Mojo.
I like stats. They do stats a lot.
But yeah, I was too busy looking at the Busted Tees girl.
Yeah, see? You're just killing it.
According to this, it says Leatherheads is going to be topping out with Nim's Island and then 21. I think 21's going to suffer a little bit because there's other stuff out there.
Yeah,
I don't think 21 has staying power. I think everyone went and saw it initially, and then it's going to go.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're looking... Here's a quick cheat sheet for the weekend.
Okay.
If you're looking for a date movie, go see Leatherheads.
We should do a story about this on Film School Rejects.
So if you're looking for a date movie, go see Leatherheads. If you're looking for a thriller, you know, The Ruins is a great thriller. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a family movie...
The Ruins again.
Ruins again. I would still say Horton Hears a Who, but I think you would say Nim's Island...
I'd say give Nim's Island a shot simply because if you haven't, Horton Hears a Who. I mean, Fox doesn't care because they're both Fox movies. So
yeah.
They don't care how. I mean, you know, no one else is putting anything out right now.
Right.
Disney's saving everything for May and June.
Right. And if you're looking for a popcorn flick, 21 is probably your best popcorn flick. Just, you could pretty much take anybody, although, you know, it's not that great of a movie. And if, I have to be honest, this is the show.
So apologetic.
And if you're looking for a movie that you could take a chance on, I really think Run, Fat Boy, Run is still your chance at movie if it's playing. But I also noticed that a lot of markets still have In Bruges. Definitely go see In Bruges.
In Bruges is funny.
It is a good movie.
And even though it's not Peter Dinklage playing the dwarf in it,
yeah.
It should be.
Well, I mean, that guy is close enough.
He looks like Peter Dinklage. Actually, I'm like, is that Peter Dinklage? And he's not. Peter Dinklage is a better actor.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Peter Dinklage wouldn't do the nudity.
Yeah.
That was required.
Hmm.
Was he nude in Bruges?
I don't know.
He was close to it.
Naked midgets.
Not midgets?
Oh, man. Little people. Little people.
Dwarfs.
They're not dwarfs.
They're dwarfs.
What?
They suffer from dwarfism.
They're little people.
I am going to...
We need to get a little person on our show.
I know a
and
little
we need
per-
to
I know a little person.
We need to ask him.
He's a guy. He impersonates Michael Moore. He's Mini Mike.
He's Mini Mike.
Seriously.
Really?
Honest to God.
Can we get him on the show? I mean,
I could totally get Mini Mike on the show.
When? Does he live around here?
No, he lives up in Michigan.
Well, we'll drive to Michigan.
Yeah, he lives.
We
up
need
in,
him live on the show. We can't do a phone interview with that because we need him here so that he can.
So they can hear how much of a dwarf he is.
I guess I don't know.
Makes no sense.
We'll bring the short microphone stand. I have no idea what we're gonna do.
Neil.
He'll have to stand up. I have no idea what to tell you.
Speaking of dwarves, well, we'll talk about that in the sound off section.
I have no idea.
Vern Troyer.
Oh yeah, Vern Troyer. Sad news.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. But introduce this next thing.
Gerard Butler, as we all know, Neil's mom is a huge fan of Gerard Butler. Almost inappropriate, but it would be. But I mean, it's still very cute.
Oh, she's
and
a sweet lady. She really is.
Yeah, and she submitted some questions for my interview with Gerard Butler, and so here they are. And here's he was a very good sport. Here he is.
My co-host's mother, Neil Miller, his mother, is a rabid fan of you. And she was actually upset that 300 did so well because everyone else now discovered you. And she no
right.
longer had you for herself. She wanted to submit a couple questions. And do you mind answering those real quick?
No, not at all.
Okay. Of all the characters you've portrayed on screen, which one is the most like you?
I would say while I was – I don't know about nowadays, but while I was playing it, I think the character that I was most in touch with was the Phantom.
Okay.
I was feeling a lot of stuff in my life at that point that just felt very kind of, there was a lot of serendipity with the Phantom and what I was going through. But I think that on a lighter tone, the Guy Ritchie movie, the one I have coming out, mm-hmm. I remember my publicist called me after watching that and said, I feel like I've just hung out with you for an hour and a half. She said, that is all of you. You know, the silliness, the goofiness, the strong part, the vulnerable part. It's got all of you in there. So that's one that people haven't seen yet, but I think that's probably most like me nowadays.
Okay. What's your favorite movie of all time? Just not that you've done, but just all time favorite movie.
Apocalypse Now, probably.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And why is that?
I don't know, and I don't even know if that's the truth. But I know that even films that I love and that blow me away for some reason, it's that I very often don't watch them again. It's okay. Just a weirdness that I have. But Apocalypse Now, I think I've seen about 17 times. I can just put it on and watch it. It's something that's just visual. It's stimulating. It makes me think. And I don't know. And then there's certain things you can't explain. I just love that film.
Okay. And now, remember, these two are coming from your biggest fan up in Cleveland, Ohio. What's your idea of a romantic evening?
Oh, God, I hate this. I, in my limited life experience, have started thinking that so often the best situations come out of nothing. You know, rather than having to dress the whole thing up, you're not really trusting what goes on between two people. So some people might say, oh, you know, we'd go on a helicopter ride here and stop at a smoky restaurant. To me, it would be, honestly, this is why I'm single. It would probably, like, there's a scene in So I Married an Axe Murderer when, what's his name? Who might say I Married an Axe Murderer? Oh, my. Yes.
Yeah.
Is out with this girl, and they're just walking around, and they're making use of the things they come across, statues, park benches, and they're dancing about. And to me, I have had the best times when I'm just walking about somewhere. It's in the streets of Paris or New York. So, like, friends, I'm living in New York now. If I was to go on a date, to walk across the Brooklyn Bridge and see things and make fun of things and come across the strange things that you come across, that, to be honest, you don't find when you're sitting in a restaurant. That would be great for me. But like I say, that's why I'm still single.
And then one quite, the last question from her would be, are you interested in dating slightly older women?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Okay.
I've always liked older women. I've always liked older women, preferably about 40 or 50 years older.
Great.
Hey, what was your partner's mom's name?
You know what? I just know her as Neil's mom.
Neil's mom? Okay. Hello, Neil's mom.
Thank you so
Big
much.
Kiss. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, my man. Take care.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh yeah.
We haven't had this feature for a while.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Bad Guys at the Movies. Several weeks, yeah. But we're bringing it back, and we're going to be starting to see more of this on Film School Rejects, a weekly top 10 list.
Yeah.
And what better way to start the internet-only segment than
the top 10 list.
The top 10 list, which really isn't all that risque.
Yeah, there's no, well, you'll see.
There's some things.
I suppose.
This is in honor of the ruins, because, and this was made before I saw the ruins, and the ruins would totally be on this list.
Yeah, Mexico or Mayan temples.
Yeah.
Or anywhere in the jungle or anywhere near a vine or.
Anywhere near, well, no, it was a ziggurat. It was a Mayan pyramid, so.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't want to go near any plants.
If you notice, periodically, Hollywood will make movies that just really show a place in really bad light. You know, this is not where you'd really want to go. And so I think if Hollywood actually ran a travel agency, they would suck balls at it. They would be terrible. And yes, here are
the marketing would just fall apart.
Exactly. These are the top 10 places you should never visit, according to Hollywood.
Yes.
Number 10, Antarctica, as depicted in The March of the Penguins. It's basically as cold as balls down there. And only the majestic
that's
emperor.
The whole thing right there.
The majestic emperor penguin is the only thing that can survive. Plus, it's like night that long out of the, you know, like 6 months out of the year. And
yeah. And there's vampires. And
yeah. And Eight Below did the same thing. They went, you know, and
yeah.
You don't want to go to.
Because Paul Walker's there and you don't want to hang out with Paul Walker.
Anywhere where obviously. Paul Walker is.
Number nine, one of my personal favorites, is Kazakhstan, as depicted in Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit, Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. If you saw the first, what is it, 5 minutes of Borat?
Yes.
Cows, you know, in the why. Kitchen. Cows in the kitchen, sisters as prostitutes, fat wives, crazy.
Erkin, the town rapist.
The town rapist.
My favorite, one of my favorite lines in the movies is as he's leaving, he says, no. Humans only. I mean,
yeah, so you don't ever want to go to Kazakhstan. In fact, the country of Kazakhstan was upset when Borat came out,
yeah.
Because they were like, we're not like this, and everybody else was like, yeah, whatever.
Well, you know what's funny is Kazakhstan isn't like the, it's like the fourth or fifth or sixth largest country by area.
It's,
I think.
I don't know.
It's got a very small population, but it's like
huge.
China, Russia, US, Canada, and then Kazakhstan. You know, or something like that. So
yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to go there. Mm. Humans only, Neil.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
Okay. Number eight, Colombia. Not the District of Columbia, although not the
that
best place
to
go unless you stay in the place where all the buildings are. But Colombia, as depicted in Romancing the Stone and also Collateral Damage, the Schwarzenegger bomb from a couple years ago. You know, there's drug lords down there. There's infighting, political craziness. If you're a romance writer or firefighter bent on revenge, this is not where you really want to go because
yeah,
you could get killed.
Because there's drug dealers and they will shoot you.
Yes.
That's pretty much the
and they speak the Spanish. Gist of it.
They speak Spanish. And you
so,
know,
and I can't understand that.
I don't understand it either. So speaking of places where they speak Spanish, number seven.
Which actually arguably speak more Spanish.
Probably more Spanish. Texas, as depicted in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I've been to Texas and I didn't. I guess
there's a lot
there's
of Texas.
A certain part of Texas. Like if you go to Austin, Austin's great, but like I was even told if you go outside Austin, you may never come back.
We
it's
drove.
Just, it's bad.
I've driven all over this country, and I've driven through Texas.
Don't worry, they know.
Times. Yeah, I know. And so I was at Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah.
And came in. Was it then? Yeah, it was. And then I kind of come in. We were going up to Amarillo, and you're cutting through the part of Texas where there's no big cities.
Right.
It's just all small town. It's like. I don't know if it's where Texas Chainsaw was supposed to take place, but
or it was taking place as you were driving through.
Yeah, it could have been. Who and knows? Like the what happened is my son in the middle of the night just like completely nuked his diaper.
Right,
he's 17. No, I'm just kidding. He was like, you know, one and a half, and so we had to go and like wash all of his clothes and stuff because it was bad. And so we find like the only laundromat there, and the mayor was outside. It was a cockroach, just sitting outside the front of the laundromat, welcoming us in. So
nice.
this is where Texas Chainsaw Massacre goes. I don't even remember the name of the town.
Nice.
Which I probably wouldn't say on the air because they'd hate me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because we're probably on the air there. Next.
Next. Is this me?
This is you.
Okay. Brazil, as depicted in Turistas. Which wasn't a great movie, but although and I thought Ruins was starting to look like Turistas at the beginning.
Yeah.
But it sort of went a totally different
it
direction.
Got good.
But yeah, this is the movie where they do human organ trafficking, which I still can't find out any sort of thing if it really happens.
Yeah.
I mean, there's urban legend. You the whole kidney story, kidney in a bathtub type thing.
Right.
Ice in a bath, you know, that's fake. That's an
right.
urban legend. But that doesn't mean that there aren't human organ trafficking going on.
Right. And well, I mean, here's really the common theme that I see of movies that are made about stuff like this is if you're a good-looking, blonde-haired, blue-eyed American college student
and take your clothes off at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, and you go anywhere outside the United States, you're going to die.
Yeah.
All right? Let's just face it. You're going to die, and if you get away, you're going to be badly scarred for life.
Unless you're Olivia Wilde, who is hot.
Who is hot, yeah.
And didn't do a nude scene in Turistas, but did do a nude scene in Alpha Dog, and it's the only reason to watch that movie.
Yeah. Sorry. I was thinking of the nude scene. Number five is Burma, as depicted in Rambo. If you saw Rambo, I mean, that pretty much explains it from there. It's
what does he
explosion.
Say?
It's a war zone.
It's a war zone. I mean, you don't, unless you have Sly Stallone leading the way,
hopped up on HGH.
You do not want to go into Burma. So Just, yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Now, here's another one. New Mexico, see, because it's not just internationally. It's our own backyard.
Yeah, just about anywhere.
New Mexico, as depicted in The Hills Have Eyes, and, of course, The Hills Have Eyes 2, and that sort of thing. I've actually driven through these areas of New Mexico, and it is kind of scary because you drive on these roads and you don't see anybody. Of course, Canada's worse.
Right.
Go up, like, through British Columbia, and you just see moose and squirrel, and that's it.
Well, you know, they have shows to do.
Yeah, although, you know, this is a complete aside, big surprise. There's a place, I think it's in Alberta or British Columbia, somewhere along there, and it's like called Beaver. It's like, and they have this giant, and I'm talking gigundous statue of a beaver.
It's a big beaver.
Yeah, and I go, we have to take a picture of that enormous beaver. And my one son was terrified of it. He's like, I don't want it to eat me, because it's like literally... It wouldn't fit in the Magical Studio in the Sky. It would be
and
that
the Magical
huge.
Studio in the Sky is ginormous.
It's huge. Yeah, it's like a satellite. It's a beaver satellite.
A beaver satellite.
Anyways.
What's next?
That's you.
Number three is Mexico City as depicted in Man on Fire and Sequestro Express.
Kidnapping. I guess
the whole point of this is as we get closer to the top of the list, they get more real and scary.
It's
like Mexico City is really scary.
Yeah,
you know,
Mexico
kidnappings,
City,
killings.
Kidnapping's a big deal.
Prostitutes with gonorrhea, all of that stuff.
Well, that's why I go to Tijuana, where the good ones
right,
are.
Right, the clean hookers.
No.
They only have herpes.
Have you seen Sequestro Express?
No.
It's actually not a Hollywood movie, but it's a remake, and it was distributed, I think, by Miramax.
It's a movie.
But it's about a real thing that happens is sequestro means kidnapping, I think, or loosely in Spanish.
Wow. So
and
that's like express kidnapping.
It's exactly that, because the kidnapping would be you kidnap somebody, you hold them for ransom, and you wait days or whatever. What they do with Sequestro Express is they kidnap somebody who looks rich.
Right.
And basically tell them, or they'll kill you unless you take me to a cash machine and give me $1,000.
Right.
That's literally what it is. It's for small sums, relatively. You don't
but
go for $50,000. You go for like $1,000.
Yeah, you know, they do the quick hits, quantity or
exactly.
quality or quantity over quantity.
And they either
you get the point.
Get you and have you take him to an ATM, or they get you and they tell somebody you got to get money and give it to them at an ATM, or in like 2 hours they're going to kill you. I mean, that sort of thing. So basically, if you're a white guy, don't go down to Mexico City and get drunk and come flopping around like a gringo with your wallet out and everything, because you'll get kidnapped and have to give them your money.
Fair enough.
Otherwise, I'm sure there's some nice areas in Mexico City.
Yeah. I don't know where they are.
Okay.
But move on.
Number two, Slovakia, as depicted in Hostel. And we said these things are true. This actually, well, it's arguably whether this stuff
I don't think anybody wants to go to Slovakia anyways.
Well, actually.
And my ancestors are from there.
The parliament of Slovakia got mad at Eli Roth for this movie. They actually took issue with him. And he made the point, he's like, people still go to Texas after the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But the thing with Slovakia in Hostel is supposedly Eli Roth was inspired for the movie by seeing a website or an advertisement or something like that, or heard about it. And I don't think it was in Eastern Europe. I think it was like in South America, I think it was actually where it was. But his quote was basically something like, the fact that, even if it's not true, the fact that some people believe it's true is really disturbing.
Right.
So
yeah, so there you go. And then finally.
Yes.
And this, there's such a funny story behind this. Number one is Sierra Leone, as depicted in Blood Diamond and Tears of the Sun.
Yes.
The you have to tell the story about the travel agent, or the tourism department.
Oh, yeah. If you go and you Google visit Sierra Leone, you will find a page that's supporting tourism in Sierra Leone. You do not want to go to Sierra Leone because there's civil war and death and warlords and destruction. I mean, you really don't want to go to Africa. And it has nothing to do with the people or race or anything like that. It's just... It's a war zone, as Sly Stallone said.
Yeah, it's a war zone. Unless you've got Sly Stallone there with you.
Hopped up.
Obviously,
on the
he'll know what to do.
But, I mean, there's areas of Africa that are good. But there was actually, the last like 5 or 6 years, there have been a whole slew of movies that are basically don't go to Africa. They're like Blood Diamond, Tears of the Sun. You've got Tsotsi, which shows the underbelly of South Africa. You got the Constant Gardener. You got Lord of War.
Yep.
All these movies that just like stay away from. I met a guy from Sierra Leone once at a Baskin Robbins.
I bet he was happy to be at the Baskin Robbins.
He was like, seriously, because I just saw Tears of the Sun, and he's like, oh, yeah, no, I would never go back.
screw
that. He's like, yeah, that stuff happens. They like cut people's heads off and leave it on the side of the road.
It's like the way I feel about Cleveland. I would never move back.
I've not seen a severed head on the side of the road in Cleveland.
So, anyways, moving on, we have two honorable mentions. The first one is Paris and New York, as depicted in Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Or the Pimpact. Which is the story of the legislation about pimping.
And let's face it.
I stole that joke from Mystery Science Theater, by the way.
If an asteroid or a comet is going to hit the Earth, those two cities seem to be the ones that go first.
They get wiped
Paris
out.
Paris and New York.
In both movies.
God.
Have you seen Deep Impact?
Yes, I have seen Deep Impact.
My favorite part of Deep Impact is when the asteroid, when the comet hits the ocean and the big tidal wave comes through and like it wipes out all, and the Brooklyn Bridge goes down, and then they show the other side of the Atlantic and Paris is getting wiped out, and they got the big arch to trumpet or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know how to say it in
whatever
French.
That, yeah.
And like everyone's running and screaming, and there's this old guy like reading a paper on the steps.
Right.
And suddenly when the wave comes through, he's like, oh shit. And then it just wipes him out.
Like he's just completely unaware of the impending doom of the planet.
Yes, he was probably reading about the Pimp Act in the paper.
So, and our last honorable mention, as we mentioned before, is Mexico in the ruins.
In the ruins.
And it's even more powerful because this list was written before we saw the ruins. Even more powerful now. Do not go to Mexico.
And if you do go to Mexico, don't like just take.
Yeah. Don't go off the beaten path.
Don't take a yellow truck that says taxi on the side
exactly.
of it into the jungle.
The resorts are fine, but you don't want to be in the jungle.
But can I say one other thing about the ruins?
Sure.
Laura Ramsey has fabulous breasts. I have to say,
I will agree.
I was very impressed with them. They look real too, or they're incredibly well
they're
done.
They're definitely real.
They look real.
She's 25. She's.
I think
not
I'm gonna have to. She's gonna have to go on my short list for stalking.
Okay.
Right after this girl from Busted Teeth.
Thank God your wife listens to
my
the
wife
show.
Listens to the show.
I'm glad we talked about that in this episode because that is really relevant now.
Yes.
So, but anyways, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to do a DVD roundup. We're going to announce a cool giveaway. We're going to wrap you up. We're going to send you off anticipating next week. And we may or may not have some shenanigans happen in the next segment. So there you go.
Chipmunks again.
That's right.
We held off on chipmunks for the longest time.
You know what that means?
That means we have a special DVD coming out this week.
It must be. And or a special giveaway.
Woohoo! DVD! I'm just making weird noises because you're looking at me, and if we were in normal speed, you'd be like, oh, you're stupid, Kevin. You're just weird. But, you know, chipmunks is all funny.
Wow. So we may sound silly right now, but we're not going to sound silly when we talk about our DVD picks of the week and our DVD
No,
roundup.
I guarantee you, we're going to feel weird. Sound silly. We're going to look silly.
We are silly.
We're going to eat silly.
Well, you know, we eat a lot, so you might as well eat at a various range of emotions, silly being one of them. And,
sure.
Yeah, moving on. So we'll start with mine because obviously we're going to talk about something related to chipmunks. I'm not sure what it is yet. Because my pick is Coyote Ugly on Blu-ray.
Which has nothing to do with chipmunks.
It has nothing to do with chipmunks, but there is a nude scene. That's really it.
How creepy is it that chipmunks are talking about Piper Perabo's
nudity?
Luscious nudity.
It's
skin.
You know, and
you have to show this to me. We'll pop it in the Magic
that
Studio.
That is the only reason I got this. And I think there was like a special edition at some point released that probably had this.
No,
on
it doesn't.
DVD.
No, seriously, it doesn't. Unless it was like really not that noticeable. Because I just got I got the Coyote Ugly re-release like a year or two ago.
And it didn't have the sex scene in it?
I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
I think
great.
I sold my DVD.
Anyways, the disappointing part, though, was that all the special features are in standard definition. Totally.
What would have been, you know, it'd be great, though, even better than high definition, is if the nude scene, if Piper Perabo would actually come to your house and be nude for you.
Well, yeah. I mean,
she went to Ohio. She went to, didn't she go to like OU or something? Like that?
Sure, maybe.
She's an Ohio girl. Along with, you know who else is an Ohio girl?
No.
Who went to Ohio school was Ben Affleck's wife. What's
Moynihan?
Her name?
Bridget Moynihan?
No, the real wife. Ben Affleck's Jennifer Garner.
Oh, Jennifer Garner.
What tabloids are you reading, dude?
I don't know.
Bridget Moynihan, you're just like focused on
these things
on
change
her.
All the time.
No, he
it's
he,
obvious that
he
people in Hollywood
just
sleep around.
Jennifer. Oh, can we mention the whole thing with the my wife and I?
Yeah, go ahead.
We have
tangent boy.
We have plenty of time because we're chipmunks. My wife and I, as you know, we're pregnant because we talked about Juno and how
you're
my nice belly looks
she's
like.
Pregnant.
Well, together we're pregnant. I had a little bit to do with it. Very little bit. I won't tell you how much.
Yeah, it was about 3 seconds worth.
Well, you weren't there.
I can imagine.
I don't think you were. Was that you heavy breathing in the closet? Anyways, we did, I wrote an article on Film School Rejects, basically ranting about how Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony have sold the pictures of their new kids, because they got twins, for $6 million, which to me, I'm like, oh, you're pimping your child out that early. And you know what? They should read the Pimp Act. The Pimp Act.
The Pimp Act.
To understand that, you actually have to go to the internet-only segment and listen to our top 10 list. But anyways, and just out of curiosity, I wanted to see if we could get money for this. They got $6 million. We're not releasing how much money we got for this, but my wife and I are selling our first pictures of our child. We've got all the pictures of our other kids.
Yeah.
But our new unborn child is going to be going live on Film School Rejects.
Yeah, we outbid both Defamer and Just Jared on this one, the two major gossip websites.
That's true.
Yeah, Defamer's bid was low, very low. Gawker, they're part of Gawker.
Oh, are they part of Gawker?
Yeah.
You got outbid by a lot of people. Kickapuppy.org, you outbid them.
Kickapuppy.org.
It's some website. I don't know.
Let's get back to DVDs.
Okay.
Well, my other, I have two picks this week. The other one's Sweeney Todd, which came out on DVD this week.
Which there is no...
Just see that movie. It's so gloriously bloody that I just loved every minute of it. Even, we're sitting here watching it. I'm sitting here watching it, and Richard, my roommate and our producer, is sitting here as well, and he's like,
Were you guys spooning?
No, I was over here working. He was laying on the couch.
Okay. Did you at some point want to lay next to him?
No, I did not.
I'm just curious. I'm just exploring.
And he's like, dear God, this is bloody. And I was like, yeah, it's like that.
The credits are in blood.
I know.
It's so, like, that's what I give this movie credit for.
Such a fun flick.
Is you watch the beginning of it, and you know it's going to be bloody because the credits are in blood.
Yeah.
So you can't sit there and somebody comes, I didn't expect it to be this violent and bloody.
Yeah.
People like that I want to smack in the face.
Anyways go ahead with yours.
Mine
is actually relevant to the way we're talking.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
My copy has not arrived yet. Somebody's going to get fired around here.
That's right. It's probably somewhere with an unknown person. You know, you've got on the... We've got a news story coming out about Amanda Rigetti.
Yeah.
She has the best legs I've ever seen in my
entire
life.
What about the Chipmunks, though, on DVD?
Better than Chipmunks.
Okay, fair enough.
But the girl who's in the Chipmunks, I would suggest you see another movie called Rise the Blood Hunter with Lucy Liu.
Yeah.
Because she's completely naked in that movie.
All right, fair enough. Cool. So,
but for the kids, get Alvin and the Chipmunks. It's a good movie.
Yes, get Alvin and the Chipmunks. If you would like to win Alvin and the Chipmunks online, we're going to be having a contest this weekend.
Go to kickapuppy.org.
Go to filmschoolrejects.com. We'll be giving away. We've got a couple copies of Alvin and the Chipmunks. We've got a couple copies of the soundtrack to give away to our loyal readers and listeners. And
people. Or not so loyal. You can just come.
Yeah, just show up for that.
First time ever and win.
Yeah, and potentially win. I don't know.
All you've
got to do is fill out a little form.
You know what the Ohio Lottery's tagline is? It's basically you can't win if you don't play.
Right.
Isn't that the dumbest? Isn't that the biggest no duh?
Dur.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, it's the dur.
That was a tangent. Can we do dur of the week?
Sure. What's your dur of the week?
The Ohio Lottery's tagline. Come on, man. Weren't you listening?
What's the deal with the Ohio Lottery's tagline?
What is with the honey? Oh, we need to make a movie about bees.
That came out
and flowers. Yeah.
I feel bad because I was supposed to write a review for that one. I'm still going to, but it's been out for like 2 weeks and it's just been sitting there and I've been...
You watched it though.
No. Well, I saw it a long time ago when we got screeners.
No, that's true.
And Bee Movie is the movie we're talking about for those who are not in the know.
No.
Because we just go off on these tangents and not explain what we are actually talking about.
We're really tired.
No, really, Bee Movie has been sitting there for weeks and I just do not want to watch it and review it. I have just some problems with bringing myself to putting that into my DVD player and watching it because it was so bad.
Wow. So the publicist is listening to this going,
yeah.
He doesn't that need to review it now.
That at least explains why I haven't reviewed it.
There you go.
So, sorry guys. But anyways, we got a contest, Alvin and the Chipmunks, the stinker of the week.
Murder, She Wrote Season 8.
Yes.
Yes. Well, this is the whole thing. Why does the movie go on? Why does the series go on for 8 seasons?
I don't know. I've never even watched one episode.
Do you know the premise?
Well, yeah, she writes the stories and they come true or whatever.
No, that is not the premise. What, are you stupid?
I just have never watched it. All I saw was the commercials of her typing a typewriter and the stupid theme song, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a mystery writer, so she writes mysteries, and then wherever she goes, people get murdered, and she figures it out.
Oh.
The problem is no one else figures out that wherever she goes, people get murdered.
Right.
Why do they continue to invite Jessica Fletcher to dinner parties is what I want to know.
I don't know.
Because you know,
somebody's got to kill somebody with a candlestick in the dining room.
Because let me tell you, if I was going to have a party, and my wife was like, hey, can we invite Jessica Fletcher? I'll be like, who do you want to kill?
Yeah.
Who do you want to die? Because right. Wherever she goes...
And then you're definitely going to get caught.
8 seasons, so if you figure at least 20 episodes a season, you're talking 160 murders here. This woman...
She's got a bad rap.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it went on for like 15 years. So she like was privy to like 300 murders.
Yeah. Wow.
What?
I don't know what to tell you.
I mean...
I really don't.
Jessica Fletcher, and no, she never gets killed.
Maybe,
that would have been a great
maybe
episode.
At the last one, she gets killed.
She
I think
could.
That should be the way it happens.
But anyways, Mrs. Potts from Beauty and the Beast.
We've got to keep going here.
Who
we've got to wrap this thing
okay,
up.
Okay.
Let's talk about the movies that came out this week. We'll start with...
Stay away from Jessica Fletcher dinner. She's never coming to the Magical
up.
Studio in the Sky.
We'll start with Leatherheads. What did you say about Leatherheads?
Kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks. I said kind of rocks because I enjoyed it a little bit. Shine a Light, neither one of us saw, but we think it might rock a little bit.
It obviously rocks. It's
it
a
rocks.
Rock concert.
Nim's Island, you saw it?
Kind of rocks.
Okay, and then we saw The Ruins. I said kind of rocks, but you were a little bit more.
I totally rocks. Actually, two rocks. One for each of Laura Ramsey's
breasts. So next week we've got a nice plethora of films. We've got Street King, Keanu.
Yeah.
We've got Prom Night, and we've got Smart People with Ellen Page and Tom Hayden Church and Dennis Quaid and all those other people.
And we'll talk about those next week.
We'll talk about those next week. Goodbye.
Or Kevin Carr, Rick Shithouse. That's great.